Amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Pastor Shayna Hurd. I'm blessed to pastor this amazing congregation. Glad to be here with y'all today. I want to jump right into the word because this, we have been in a series, although you may not realize it, we've been in a series called Supernatural Fruit and Multiplication. And the thing about this series is that, you know, we've kind of, you know, I've been gone for a week. Pastor Jen came with a great message. We had Football Sunday last week. But this month, I want to get into back into that message. But I want to talk about something that has taken me 5 months to birth. This is a word that I've been in my spirit for 5 months. It's a word that I've been trying to figure out how to share with you. And I want to tell you there's no other way for me to do it than to blast you with all the things I know about it. And then we'll just let the Holy Spirit bring revelation as we go through it. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verse 11 through 12. And I want to say this is not necessarily the focal passage of this particular sermon, but it is the beginning of the sermon. So I'm going to walk you through as much as I can. And I believe this may be a 2 or 3 part message. So you may get a couple things. So what we're going to ask for God to do today is to begin to bring revelation to you, for him to begin to open your eyes, for him to begin to open the spiritual eyes of your heart, for you to be able to see some things that God is saying and doing to the body of Christ. So would y'all permit me to take my time? But I'm not going to be here all day and take my time. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm going to take my time with it and spread it out over several weeks so we don't rush through, because this word has been so powerful for me in my life, and I want to make sure that I take the time to deliver it properly. Amen? All right, y'all have been standing for a while, so you don't have to stand, but if you have Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 through 12, go ahead and get that. And what we're going to do is say our Bible affirmations. Can we do that? Hold your finger in your Bible or hold your place on your electronic devices. Hold it high in the air, and let's say this together. You ready? This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Father, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, fall fresh in this place. Spirit of the living God, which brings revelation and insight, I pray that you would take this word and tailor make it to every person that's not only sitting in this room, but every person that's watching live on our live stream. Lord, I pray that you would minister, your God, that you would move mightily, that Heavenly Father, you would show us something that we've never seen, and that you would speak something that we've never heard. Father, have your way in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. This is going to be a hard one for me to preach. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. So if you don't have a pen or piece of paper, get a pen, piece of paper, notes on your phone out, something, because this one's going to take a little bit to sit on you, and then it might take a little bit for it to actually come to life and make sense for you. Who got children? Ladies who have children, raise your hand. Okay, one of the weird things about children is that sometimes when you get pregnant, you don't start showing immediately. When you get pregnant, you don't see the baby immediately. But what happens is the baby sits on the inside of you and it grows on the inside of you, and you know it's there even when nobody else understands or knows that it's there. This is going to be one of those words that's going to have to sit on the inside of you and grow on the inside of you. And at some point, God's going to bring about a revelation, and you're going to be able to see exactly. That baby's going to come forth. You're going to be able to see exactly what God is saying. And I'm telling you, it took me 5 months to be able to deliver this baby. So this is a precious word to me. Y'all ready? All right. Did I sufficiently get you like, oh, God, what's she about to do? That's what I want to do. Okay, Genesis 1, 11 through 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. But for the sake of us reading together, can we all read these two verses, Genesis 1, 11 through 12? Let's read. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the trees that yield fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. All right, here we go. Turn to your neighbor and say, there is power in the seed. There's power in the seed. And so today my message title is There is Power in the Seed. I started thinking about this by thinking about an apple. And when I think about an apple, I look at the apple, and on the inside of the apple, the part that most of us throw away after we eat, are seeds. As a matter of fact, most fruit has multiple seeds on the inside of it. There are fruits or vegetables like the fruits like the avocado, which has a pit that's one seed, but there's still a seed on the inside of it. And I started thinking about that seed. I started thinking, what happens if you take that seed and plant it? You know, Renee talked about I wanted that avocado pit because I wanted to plant it and grow an avocado tree. And I thought about it. I said, if you take some apple seeds, one or two, you plant it, it will grow into not one apple. It will grow into a tree that produces many apples that also inside of those apples carry seeds that can then also produce more apple trees that will produce more apples and more seeds. And so I started thinking there's this one apple, but inside of the one apple carries the potential for exponential growth and multiple apples and apple trees. So I said, God, there's got to be something with that in the body of Christ. I don't know why, but I think you're doing something there. And so the Lord took me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And the Bible says, this is the first time God begins to speak something living into the atmosphere. We had, you know, the water, the expanse, but this is the first time something that's living and growing and active is going to be spoken into the world. And so the Bible says, then God said, let the earth bring forth the grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind. Watch this. Whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its fruit, its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that was good. What God did was created living things with the ability to be fruitful and multiply already locked up inside of them. And he says, watch this. I want you to see this, why I emphasize this. Whose seed is in itself. What I want to talk to you today about is the power of the seed that's already inside of you. That God has planted when he created you everything you need to be supernaturally fruitful and to multiply. It was given to you when you were born. Think about this. When you get ready to have a baby, watch this. You were already given all the tools you need on the inside of you to be able to create a baby. You need another person. There are some things you got to do to care about it. But you already carried the potential inside of you to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, I want you to think about the promises that God has given you. Some of you are waiting for stuff to happen to you so you can get ready for that. God says, stop waiting for stuff to happen. I made you with the potential you need already on the inside of you to be able to get out of you what I'm calling you to do. You've already got all the tools and all the talents and all the gifts you need. You have to cultivate them, just like that apple seed. If you don't plant it in the ground, if you don't water it, if you don't give it sunlight, it's not going to do what it's supposed to do. But the truth of the matter is, most of us are waiting for somebody to come and give us what we need to get started. And God is saying, you don't need anybody to give you anything else other than what I've already given you. Which means you have the tools, you have the insight, you have the abilities, you have the mindset, you have the character. Everything you need is inside of you. You have to nurture it, but it's already there. So the question becomes, why am I struggling to be fruitful and multiply? I think it's because we don't understand the power of the seed that's already inside of us. So today, I'm going to walk you through this seed thing from Genesis to Revelation. It's going to take me 3 weeks, but I'm going to walk you through it. Because I believe once you begin to see it in Scripture over and over and over again, you're going to start getting excited about what God said to you. Because once you realize when God said it, He already equipped you with everything you need to make it happen. There is no barrier between what God said and God producing what He said He's going to happen in your life. All right, all right. There is this. I told you it's going to take a minute to let it sit in there for a second. I wasn't expecting you to shout. Ready? Here we go. What's on the inside of you, by the way, God has already gifted you to be able to multiply and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's already gifted you and given you what you need to bring forth healing to yourself or other people in your life. God's already gifted you to be able to bring forth a word. God's already gifted you to bring forth the business. God's already gifted you to bring forth a healthy family. God's already gifted you and given you everything you need. There is multiplication inside of you. So let's figure out how we get, why are all, you know what? Can you put my scriptures up? Because it's not showing the, does it show the numbers of this? Thank you. I don't know. My notes took all the scripture references off. Genesis 28:12. No, that's too far back. Yep. Hold on just a second, because the enemy messed with my scriptures. Okay, or I just did something bad. We're not going to blame it on the enemy. All right. Here we go. All right. Let's go. Next one. Genesis 3:15. Now, this is the next time we hear this concept about the seed. They had already fallen. They had messed up. Okay, I want you to catch this. They had disobeyed God. And God starts speaking about what He's going to do. He said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to Satan. And He says, and between your seed and her, capital S, seed. Now, watch this. This is a prophetic word that God is giving to Satan about what he's going to do. Satan looks like he's gotten the victory because they have now fallen. They are feeling this shame, this separation from God. And God comes in and He starts speaking. And what God starts talking about is He starts talking about seed. He says, look here, Satan, there's going to be enmity between your seed, small s, and her seed, capital S. This is a prophetic word about, it's, notice it says her seed, not their seed, because Jesus was virgin born. So it was only through her seed that physically that was she was he was coming. And He gives a prophetic word. He, being her seed, shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now Eve, she's sitting there like, I don't know what she's talking about. She probably think Cain or Abel was one of the ones that's going to bruise the enemy. She doesn't understand that inside of Eve carried the potential to destroy the work of the enemy in her life. You don't understand that inside of you, God, when God spoke to you, when God gave you Jesus Christ, when you asked Jesus into your heart, inside of you, you had everything you already needed to defeat the works of the enemy in your life. Okay, I did that blow over your head? So stop running scared. So stop acting like, oh, I can't figure this out. This ain't gonna never work. Oh, Satan is always busy. Shut up. Because the seed, capital S, has already bruised his seed. Anything Satan tries to do, God has already left Jesus Christ to be victorious over it. The seed, that means any potential inside of you, anything that's trying to come out, anything that wants to give life, Satan is going to try to come and steal that seed. But hold on, because the seed, capital S, has already created victory over that situation for you. There is power in the seed. This is huge. Okay, let's go to another one. Genesis 12. Here's another time we talk about it. I'm going to take my time. Is that okay? I feel like I'm losing some of us. We good? Sorry, I told you it's going to have to sit for a minute. It's not going to necessarily come immediately. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Watch this. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. So here's God showing up to Abram. Father Abraham had many sons. Okay, watch. And I will make you a great nation. Abraham ain't got no kids. Catch this. God speaks a word and says, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Now, I need you to see these next three words. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Check this. Abraham is still Abram, still living with his pappy in the land of Ur. He ain't got no kids. He's just now hearing God speak to him for the first time ever. And God tells him, you're gonna have nations coming out of you. But what's powerful is God says, and in you, already in you, is going to come all this. Sometimes we're thinking there's got to be something else done to me or for me or by me. But God's like, no. It's already in you, Abraham. The ability to be able to produce nations upon nations where all families of the earth would be blessed already existed inside of Abraham. There was no, watch this, there was no miracle that God had to swipe his hand across, swipe left, swipe right to do to create life inside of Abraham. It already existed inside of him. Relax. It's already in you. How does this change your life when you begin to realize that when God made me, he already put everything in me that I needed to be supernaturally fruitful and to multiply? I think we start chasing stuff and chasing answers instead of realizing God already placed the answers all inside of you. His Holy Spirit is in there. Now, there's a cultivation. Y'all do understand that I'm not saying it's perfectly worked out and everything's just coming to pass because it's already in you. What I'm telling you is the potential is already in you. You've already got the potential for everything you need. I feel like this message, if you grab it, will free you. It'll free you from trying. I was in a training this week, and we were talking about the four personality types that people have. And during this training, somebody said to me, I said, you should start being able to see where you lie on the personality type, which one of the four you're more like. And somebody else said, what if I'm one way, because this was a work-related event, what if I'm one way at work and another way at home? And I asked the question, I said, are you happy like that? Well, I gotta act this way at work, and then I go home. And I said, no, your personality shouldn't change whether you at work or you at home. Now, how I deal with that, I'm still crazy. I just ain't as crazy at work. But the crazy's still there. You see what I'm getting at? And I sat there, and I was, like, struggling because these are people who are not necessarily believers, and they are struggling with who they are just in their personality, trying to act one way because they think if I act one way, then I'll get better opportunities. I'll get more advancement. Things will start coming my way. And I want to free all of you. Be you, because the potential to advance and get moving and all that other stuff is already in who you are. God already get inside your personality. God gave you everything you need to get everything he called you to have. So sometimes we start acting a certain way because we think if I act like this, then I'll have that. Stop it. Be who God called you to be, because when God made you with that silly personality, he put everything you needed in you to be successful with that silly personality. Some of y'all are goofy. I'm goofy, like extra goofy. And some people like, I don't get it. I naturally have tons of energy. And people look at me and they're like, I don't know how you do it. And I'm like, I don't know how y'all don't do it. This is just me. Like, I'm not trying to get you to be me. This is just who I am. And be okay with being who you are, because in who you are, when God sat down and crafted you and made you and shaped you and put you together, he didn't just say, I'm just going to give you some stuff that everybody going to talk about. He said, no, I'm going to give you every possible thing you already need inside of you to be successful and to accomplish everything that I'm calling you to do just the way you are. There is a freedom when you start understanding that inside of me, I already got it all. I ain't got to go fuss. I ain't got to go crimp. I ain't got to go change. I ain't got to go do the things that I do because I enjoy them and because God called me to do them, not because I'm trying to use them to get something. It's huge. This is a freeing thing. This is why, and I want to say this, we have to be careful even with our children. Because you have children who learn a certain way. They you know, their kids, my kids are more kinesthetic learners, which means they learn more by movement. And it's frustrating if you sitting in a classroom and your child got to be the one moving. For a period, it was like every time they called me, I was like, what they do now? I remember one time the school called me, and I was like, the first thing I said was, what he do this time? And they said, oh, Mrs. Heard, nothing. We want to ask you to come speak at our event. I was like, oh, you sure that boy didn't do nothing? Yeah. Why? Because it was contrary to everything. The way he learned was contrary to everything that our system had taught. And what I realized is God had already placed everything inside that boy to be a smart student and to be who God called him to be. Maybe college ain't for everybody. That's okay. God put everything inside of him he needed already. And what I had to do was say, all right, how do we take how you learn and make it work at home? So when we start doing studies at home, I would say, stand up and walk and I'll quiz you. And it was like, while he was walking, he was like popping it off. Like, yes, I got it. Now you sit him down and try to do it. He's like, So now I allow my kids to study how they want to study. The schools are getting a little better with it. They don't call me as much. My personality, I was a talker as a kid. How many of y'all were talkers as a kid? How many of y'all stayed in trouble because you talked too much? Look here. They need to leave us talkers alone. Because guess what I do for a living now? I talk. Y'all tried to shut the gift that God had put inside of me down. But in the name of Jesus, God had already put everything in me I needed. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? So when you have a child and you start to see, and it's very different than you, don't start shutting it down. Start asking yourself, how do I shape this? God, show me what you need me to do to cultivate this. Why? Because it's a seed that you planted inside of them. And if I can cultivate that bad boy, we're going to start getting trees out of them that are producing fruit upon fruit upon fruit upon fruit upon fruit. That's our responsibility as parents. That's our responsibility as leaders. That's our responsibility as people in the community who are watching other children. It's all of our responsibility. Okay, that was definitely a rabbit trail. All right? So what God wanted to do in Abraham was already inside of him. And it's already inside of you. What God wants to do through you is already in you. All right, here we go, Genesis 17, 1 through 7, because I still ain't got to the good stuff yet. But I'm saying I'm going to take my time. When Abram was 99 years old, this is Genesis 17, verse 1 through 7. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Oh, I love this passage. Walk before me blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Now, you need to know Abraham is 99 at this point and still not has a, he still doesn't have a child. He's been waiting on this promise for 24 years. I ain't say that the cultivation was going to be quick. All right, here we go. But God still shows up and says, I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and called, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. Watch this. For I have made you a father of many nations. Now catch this. Abram, at this point, 99 years later, ain't got no babies. God speaks in past tense. For I have made you. When I put you together, I already made you a father of many nations. Here's the problem. The seed never looks like the fruit. So here's Abram, who's sitting there 99 years later, 24 years sitting on a promise, and he's like, it can't happen. Something's wrong. And God's like, no, I already made you to be a father. That's why when God talked to him as if it was already done. Because in God's eyes, it was done when he made Abram and fashioned him. It don't matter if it took 100 years for the promise to come to pass. He had already said, it's done because I created you that way. I created you to be a father of many nations. Now, if you catch this, let me not move too fast. Watch this. No longer shall you be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. The word Abraham means father of many nations. So God changed his name because when God made him, he made him father of many nations, but his daddy named him something else. Oh, y'all missing this. So when God spoke to him, he said, we got to change your name back to what I made you to be, which is father of many nations. So watch this. When God made you, he made you to be royalty. He made you to be holy. He made you to be a healer. He made you to be a one who brings deliverance, a teacher, a preacher, a business owner. He made you like that, but your mama called you Susie. And when you come to Jesus, Jesus says, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. They messed your name up. Let me correct it by giving you the name which I already made you and created you. I created you to be leader. I created you to be wife. I created you to be husband. I created you to be business owner. I created you to be a father. I created you to be a mother. And you're like, but I don't see all that. And God is saying, shh. The seed don't look like the fruit. Shush, 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 shush. It's coming. Chill. Now, what I love about this is I said, God, why did you have to change his name? I get it. God was like, because I made him one way. They messed it up. I'm fixing it. I'm putting it back. But what happened is when Abraham left here, he said, don't call me Abram no more. Call me Abraham. So what he's telling people, don't call me by that other name. Call me father of many nations. Wait, but you ain't got no babies. Shh, 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 shh. Call me father of many nations. Well, I don't see your wife ain't pregnant. Shh. What's my name? Remember Snoop? What's my name? Shh. What's my name? Stop letting people call you by what they see. And fix it and say, that's not who I am. No, no, no. I'm holy, I'm royal, I'm righteous, I'm the father of many nations. I'm a business owner, I'm a boss. Look, come on, somebody. I'm a woman who got kids, who love Jesus, who serve Jesus. I know they crazy right now, but don't talk about that. They look here, let me tell you, that's not who they are. That's not who I am. You sick. That's not my name. My name is healed. Wait, but I'm seeing the charts. Shh, 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 shh. You can look at the charts, but don't call me by my circumstance. Call me by my seed, because my seed says I'm healed. You're not that smart. Shh, shh, shh. Hush up. I'm brilliant. But you're getting F's. Shh. But I got the wisdom of God on my side. The wisdom throughout all universe. I'm brilliant. Because I got access to the most brilliant mind in the... Stop letting people call you by your government name. And make them call you by your Jesus name. Who has Jesus called you to be? And you got to stop answering to some of them names they calling you. You're the black sheep of the family. Yep, I'm the black sheep of the family. You're not the black sheep. You're the one that's fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm set apart. His works are wonderful. I know that full well. I ain't like y'all. I know I'm different than y'all, but that's all right. Somebody needed to be different in this crazy household. Oh, I'm not done. He says, I will make you, after he changed his name, he says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you. You need to know that in this word, you were included in Scripture. I need you to catch this. I'm going to take my time throughout the next 3 weeks to prove to you that you are a descendant of Abraham. And because you are a descendant of Abraham, you have every word that God gave to Abraham is also for you. Okay, people don't like this, but I did a whole Bible study. And y'all, I'm gonna bring it back over the next 3 weeks because I've been working on it because I was like, I don't know. This one's a mind blower. But we were in Bible study one night, and I came up and I said, okay, if you believe in Jesus, you have become a Jew. People were like, I ain't Jewish. And I took about 3 weeks to prove through Scripture that you are a descendant by faith and you have been grafted in. And so now the promises that God gave to Abraham are also yours because you are a direct descendant by faith in what God said. So if God started talking to Abraham about, I will make you exceedingly fruitful and multiply you greatly and I will give you a land and I'm going to do this. Guess what? This promise, when it says descendants, you ought to put your name in it. So I will establish my covenant between me and you, Abraham, and your descendants, Shana and Lonnie and Eliana and Joe and Jerry and Tommy, after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant will be with you and with all those people I just named. I'm his descendant. You're his descendant. What I tell you about an apple seed, in an apple seed, you plant it in the ground, you get a tree which produces multiple apples that also have the ability to produce multiple trees. You are one of those apples that came from Abraham, and inside of you is the potential to produce more trees that can produce more fruit, that can produce more people for the kingdom of God, that can do more than you've ever thought imagined inside of you. You're thinking too small. You got seed inside of you. You think the seed is small, but you got to remember the potential of the seed. I feel like there's some things that we are doing, and we are limiting what God is able to do because we don't know the power of the seed inside of us. We're not thinking big enough. I'm going to be honest with you. The biggest testimony of my life, you can name 5,000 other of them, you know, surviving being a widow and all that. That's good. But one of the greatest testimonies to my vision was the 21 days of prayer this year. I had no idea God would do what he would do. And I kept limiting. I was like, if we get 200 people, I'm happy. I'm good, God. Like within an hour, we had 400. I was like, whoa, didn't think big enough. Let's go 500. 5 or 6 hours, we had more than 500 people signed up for this. 24 hours later, I was like, okay, we're going to be big and shoot for 1,000. Jewel was like, how about 1,500? I was like, no, 1,000's good. 1,544 people later, within a 2-day period, signed up from 66 countries. That was seed inside of me I didn't know existed. Let me tell you something, and that's the start. Next year, I want 10,000. I want us to be involved in reaching 10. And you would look at this church, and you'd be like, well, how this church gonna do that? Check out our Easter celebrations. You look around this room, we ain't got enough folks to help 20 folks. Where the money going to come from? I don't know. We're just going to do it. We go out. What did we get last year? How many people? 1,700 people showed up for our Easter celebration. And we were like, it ain't that many of us that's going to serve in this church. Somehow or another, God, through blessings and miracles, we reached out. We got students. We had 99 volunteers. To serve, that don't even sound right, 1,700 folks. To give away 6,000 Easter eggs. Winchester Mystery House gave out 5,000. I know they got more money than us. But we gave out 6,000. Let me tell you something. When you look, you see, oh, it's like 50 people in here. When I look, I see it's 50 seeds with the potential to produce 50 trees that's got on them seeds that are going to produce even more. So when I look at you, I don't look at you and see where you are. I look at you and I see what God's doing inside of you. Don't get mad at me if I'm hard on you because I'm trying to pull out and cultivate that seed so we can grow some stuff. Come on, y'all don't understand. And I'm going to prove to you I don't have time today, but oh, do I have time? Do I have time? I ain't got time. It's 11:30. Look here. I'm going to prove to you through this series that Satan has been after the seed. Satan has not been after you. Because if you, he's like, okay, I killed them, that's great. But if, here's the problem. My husband died, but the seed inside my husband didn't die. My husband pastored this church, founded this church. And when he founded this church, the enemy thought, if I kill him, I will kill the work of this church. I will kill the lives that will be touched through this church. But what he didn't understand is the Bible says if you plant a seed in the ground, the seed is going to die, but it's going to come up and it's going to produce a fruit and a harvest. They didn't understand that when they killed him, all they did was planted the seed in the ground so that the seed can start cultivating. And here we sit as a church, still going strong 11 years later. It don't make no sense. You think Satan is after you. He ain't after you. He's after the seed inside of you. He's after the potential on the inside of you. All the hell you've been through has been about your potential. All the stuff you've been going through has been about what God is saying. I've already said I've made you to be able to do that. And if you can grab hold of that, then you'll be able to produce something so supernaturally powerful that nobody else will be able to stop it. I'm done for the day. That's a good stopping point. I'm going to tease you. Can I tease you? Oh, that sounded bad. I'm going to give you a preview. How about that? Let's go. Let me find the preview. Genesis 28. Genesis 28, 13 through 15. I'm going to preview where I'm getting to, hopefully in the next week, but I'm going to take my time. Do y'all see why I had to take my time with this? Okay, Genesis 28, 12. Then he dreamed. Now this is, so we have Abraham. Abraham had a son, Isaac. And Isaac had a son, Jacob. And I'm going to prove to you that this in your seed thing is happening through all three of them. But here's Jacob. Jacob, he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord. This is why God always keeps saying the God of your father, Abraham, because I had a covenant with Abraham, and the God of your father, Isaac, because I had a covenant with Isaac. So this is the reason why the Bible gives you so much history on lineage, because God is like, I've been working this covenant thing throughout all of history just for you. Okay, but you don't want to hear that. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Here's that word. It's for you too. Now watch this, watch this. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. And in your seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. There's that in you again. Now watch verse 15. Watch this. Behold, I'm with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. Now you better catch this last part. If you don't grab nothing else, grab this. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Preview. The seed inside of you was the potential. But God says, I know it needs cultivation. I'm not going to leave you until I get out of you what I said I'm going to get out of you. I'm not going to leave you until that seed begins to be a tree that begins to produce the fruit that it's need. I'm not going to let you go till I get what I promised you you're going to have. Some of y'all feel like I'm out here by myself. God, where are you? God said, I'm waiting for you to say it's time to go get that seed and make it come to pass. This is the reason why you can go out there and do all the dirt you want to do, and you turn your eyes to the right or to the left, and God is like, you ready now? God's like, I know you doing your dirt, but I ain't going to leave you. I know you messing up, but I ain't going to leave you. I know you trying to walk away from this, but I am not going to leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. This is why I get so excited when we start talking about what the Lord has done and what the Lord has said to me, because all I need God to do is speak the word. The potential's already inside of me. He's going to do the work to bring it about. All I got to do is stick with him. And when I stick with him, oh, come on, somebody, he makes sure, he gives an absolute guarantee that what he said shall absolutely come to pass in my life. I don't know where the passage is, but I remember the word, the scripture. It says something like this. It says, my word shall not return to me void, for it shall accomplish the things which I set out for it to do. What is that saying? I'm not going to leave you until I've done what I promised you I want to. I know you've been crazy. That's all right. I'm not going to leave you till I've done what I've promised you I'm going to do. And you know how I know there's a promise? Because that's the seed inside of you. It's your potential. Stand to your feet. I'm done. This is a preview. It might take more than 3 weeks. Might be 4, 5. I'm going to take my time with this. Because what I want more than anything is for you to recognize and to know there is power in the seed that's locked up inside of you. I believe that God's getting ready to release something supernaturally in this church. And I used to be like, oh God, I don't know what it's going to look like. Now I know what it's going to look like. It's going to look like an apple tree. And every one of you are apples on that tree with a potential to produce more apple trees. And you know what my job is? My job is to help cultivate the seed inside of you till we can get out of you, what God promises already in you. If you're here today and you're like, that was for me, I want you to come to the altar. I want to pray for you. I don't know. I'm not asking anything deeper. You just feel like that was for you. I want to pray for you. I don't know how or why or where or what that's for me thing is, but I sense that was for you. Father, I thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Ooh, Jesus. I feel like, just like a woman who's getting ready to give birth, and we just got implanted. We don't know how this word is going to come to pass. We don't know how it's going to come out. We don't know what the baby going to look like. I remember when I got pregnant, I was just hoping they didn't have a big head like mine. It didn't work. See, I may not know what the tree or the fruit's going to look like. I don't need to know that. All I need to know is there's a seed in me. And that God said he won't leave me until he's done what he said he's going to do. Father, I thank you for every person at this altar. Nobody looks at apples when they eat them and say, wow, this has a whole lot of potential to bear a whole lot of apples. We just eat the apple. But God, right now in the spiritual realm, I see a whole lot of potential in each and every person at this altar. And what I see, Father God, is you're stretching their ability to believe you for more. Father, in the name of Jesus, if you're at the altar, lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would do a download like supernaturally like never before. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would begin to overwhelm them with your love, overwhelm them with encouragement, overwhelm them with confidence, overwhelm them, Father God, with the vision. I pray, Father God, that you would show them more. I pray, Father God, that you would show them next steps. I pray, Heavenly Father, that even if they can't get the full picture, that God, if they just get the what do I do next. And then, Father God, I pray that they wouldn't just just be people who hear your word and say, that's a good word, and move on. But they will be doers of your word, Father God. And so in doing, begin to cultivate the seed that you have released. I declare, Father God, there are ministries that are being birthed even in this moment. I declare that there are children that are being birthed. I mean actual, literal children that are being implanted into the heart of the people right now, into their body. I declare, Father God, there are marriages that are being restored. I declare there are single people right now, Father God, that you are releasing on them, Father God, and reminding them that it is not your past that says you are available or ready for marriage, but that, God, it is you who have called them to be spouses. I declare relationships, businesses are being implanted and being stored. I declare healing right now is being released. I pray over the babies that are at this church, Father God, and the ones that are at the altar right now, and I declare that you're releasing them to be who you have called them to be okay with who they are. I declare self-esteem is rising right now so that we don't accept less than your best for us, but that we continue to strive to do what you've called us to do. I declare, Father God, that goodness and mercy are following us and chasing us and keeping us, which means, God, you will not leave us until we have seen what you've spoken of, until you've done what you've spoken of in each of our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, show us, oh God, the power of the seed. I see so many of you have discounted the seed. That's what I see. You don't think you're able to do what God said. You keep saying, God, why me? And I keep hearing God say, why not you?